Hi there. You are about to listen to the on-demand version of the Naked American Songbook. Due to onerous copyright restrictions, we're not allowed to play complete recordings in this podcast. But we'll still play little pieces of each song, and you can still hear me get naked with actor, singer, and activist Leah Delaria. Here we go. Ain't no party like a big boo party. Greetings, fellow visitors to Oz. Fear not. You are hardly the first to weather a terrible storm, only to discover the landscape has been completely transformed. One minute you're on the farm, dreaming of a brand new day, and the next, a dark wind has swept you into an alien world where nothing is as it seems. Where monkeys fly, trees throw apples, witches rule, and the guy in charge is nothing more than an elaborate puppet show put on by a washed-up carnival barker.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain!
It'll take all you've got to get back home, kids. Heart, brains, and don't forget courage. Oh, and if you've got talent, well, definitely bring that, too. It's all gonna come in handy in this epic battle. I'm Julian Fleischer, and my guest today has been fighting the good fight for longer than you might imagine. The classic overnight sensation, Orange is the New Black's Leah Delaria, has been following the road to success for almost 30 years. The first openly butch lesbian comic and singer to enjoy real mainstream success, this friend of Dorothy has always been brilliant, compassionate, and totally fearless as both a performer and as a human for whom the personal and the political are inextricably linked. A child of the 70s, a time that's all but synonymous with liberation, Leah Delaria has lived a life that exemplifies one of that era's defining pop cultural moments. No, not Star Wars, though the Force is very strong with this one. I'm speaking of Free to Be You and Me, the album and accompanying TV special. A groovy, hilarious, and often touching collection of songs and sketches performed by an insane collection of superstars from the worlds of music, movies, sports, and television, Free to Be You and Me provided a glimpse of a future in which the landscape was completely transformed.
There's a land that I see where the children are free, and I say it ain't far to this land from where we are.
Sexism, bigotry, and fear were replaced by equality, compassion, and love. Leah Delaria has long since lived those principles with complete command, giving countless others the courage to do the same, myself included. And I'd like to show my gratitude by sharing my own version of a tune from Free to Be You and Me called When We Grow Up. It's a tune I recorded with my old friend and fellow freedom fighter Melissa Hazlip. The Force is strong with that one, too. That's no moon, friends. That's a space station. And this is the Naked American Songbook.
When we grow up, will I be pretty? Will you be big and strong? Will I wear dresses that show off my knees? Will you wear trousers twice as long? Well, I don't care if I'm pretty at all, and I don't care if you never get tall. I like what I look like, and you're nice small. We don't have to change at all.
You can still pull the whistle while I steer. And I don't care if you're pretty at all, and I don't care if I never grow tall. I like what you look like, and I'm nice small. We don't have to change at all.
When we grow up, I just want to be happy and do the things I like to do.
Like making noise.
And making cakes. And making friends like you. And when we grow up, see that I'm still like you.
And you're still like me.
I might be pretty.
I might grow tall.
But we don't have to change at all.
My guest today on the Naked American Songbook is the one and only Leah Delaria.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm always happy to be here.
A session to talk about you and your music and the songs that shaped you, your rich inner musical life, which is so layered and so exciting and has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, my whole life.
I guess I learned that you are a little older than you look. I mean, a lot younger than you look is what you are.
Like, there you go. I think that's what you wanted to say. You said that backwards.
When I found out your age today, I was stunned because
you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, I'll be 58 in a minute.
Well, that's extraordinary because I would put you 10 years below that at least. I don't know.
That's the gay thing, honey. I say this to everybody. We're ostracized by our family and friends and society and often even murdered on the street, but at least we look 10 years younger than we actually are. I mean, we got to get some perks for being gay. That's right. The biggest perk, right?
So when they pull your corpse out of the gutter, you're a good looking one.
I'm a good looking corpse.
That's straight out of Cabaret right there.
But when I saw her laid out like a queen,
she was the happiest corpse I'd ever seen.
She was the happiest corpse I'd ever seen.
So, speaking of Cabaret, which starred Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
Her mother. Go.
Her mother, one of the biggest influences on me as a singer, just to talk about her personally. If anybody taught me how to be empathetic and to have pathos and to give to the audience until it hurts. I got that from watching Judy on television as a teeny kid.
Do you remember the first time?
Yeah, the first thing I ever saw her do, of course, was Somewhere Over the Rainbow in The Wizard of Oz.
Sure.
Oh, I remember she had this great version of what ends up being the Carnegie Hall rendition of Putting on the Ritz that she did on her television show. And she had that white cord. I always, whenever I think of her, I think of her in her suit of lights, you know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The one that she stole from the set of, come on.
Not
Helen Lawson. Helen Lawson.
Oh, Valley of the Dolls.
How could both, aren't we both gay? That was weird. So,
I'm on a few too many dolls this morning. Sorry.
Thank you.
Rubbing elbows, come let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks and umbrellas in their midst. Putting on the Ritz, putting on the Ritz.
She has on her Helen Lawson suit of lights, and she has that white microphone with that white cord that she would just throw over her shoulder and just swinging the heck out of Putting on the Ritz.
I always
and
look at that mic and thought,
stuck with me.
How's that little tiny white microphone taking in all that sound?
All of her sound.
It looks like a Q-tip. And
well, how about that little person?
Yes.
She was tiny.
Teeny.
She was teeny tiny and packed into that teeny tiny little Judy Garland body. All of that talent. All that immense talent.
Those leather lungs.
Unbelievable. We were so robbed of her. I mean, I to this day, I'm just like an old queen, 2 o'clock in the morning, whiskey in my glass, Judy's dead.
Drinking. Oh my God, we're more of the same person than I even thought before you showed up here today, because just the other night at around 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting there with the whiskey and a vapey cigarette, and I was looking at outtakes
outtakes from A Star Is Born.
Oh my God, I've seen them.
Of The Man That Got Away.
Yes.
Which is a song you brought for us to hear today.
I think it's my favorite song she does. No two ways about it.
And it was written at the last minute for her, for that scene in that movie on that day. If listeners want to go to the internet, you can look at outtakes.
It's unbelievable.
Like in the beige costume with the sort of the plain lighting.
You could see that take of the song that isn't in the movie.
Right.
They fixed everything that was wrong with that take too. You look at that take and there's something wrong and it's all fixed in the film.
They were masters.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, just the lighting
alone. Harold Arlen, right?
Isn't Harold Arlen, yes.
And is it Yip that wrote the lyrics?
No, incredibly, it is Gershwin. It's Ira Gershwin.
Ira Gershwin wrote the lyrics.
He wrote the lyrics for that. Yeah, it was a risk for both of them. They were a little bit hesitant, if I know the story correctly, to try to work together.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they came up with.
Well, they were both masters, geniuses, and used to who they were working with and probably a little skeptical about taking the other person's opinion. That's going to be my guess about that whole thing.
I think it was Harold Arlen who started it. You know, it was his melody that got them going because it's obviously so great. But they also knew who they were writing for. I think we should listen to it.
It's just a really nice progression. I love it.
This opening is very cinematic. It sort of establishes the late night jazz club scene.
Absolutely.
You don't really know what you're in for.
Let's listen to it.
Let's just listen to Judy Garland singing The Man That Got Away from the movie The Star Is Born.
The night is bitter. The stars have lost their glitter. The winds grow colder. Suddenly you're older. And all because of the man that got away. Done you, that great beginning has seen a final inning. Don't know what happened, it's all a crazy game. Just no let up the live long night.
That slide too. that slide. So
it
nice.
It just always sounds like she should fly into 1,000 pieces and then she doesn't. It's also an interesting risk that there's not a big ending, that it slides back into home.
Yeah. Like, it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I know that's kind of cliche, but literally that chord makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up.
Some cliches are true.
Yeah. Nobody has a cry in their voice like Garland.
Except
what are you gonna say?
Katie Lang.
Katie Lang. Katie has a different kind of cry. I love her. Don't get me wrong.
Don't
I'm a
get
huge.
Me wrong.
I mean,
do you know her?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And for years. I've known her for years. The last time I saw her, I was doing a concert with her in Toronto.
You sang together?
No, we each did our sets.
You've never duetted with her?
I haven't duetted with her.
You guys should
duet.
Oh,
I think we should duet.
Actually,
I'd do that in a second.
We should do a trio, actually.
I'm confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too?
To be perfectly honest, Catherine does. She just wants to sit on her farm. So she's
That's
like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? She hires her guys. She's not gigging a lot because she just wants to sit on her farm.
I hear that. I mean, I've never met her. But anyway, I'm sorry.
It's okay. She looks so tough. When I saw her that day, I hadn't seen her in, 5 or 6 years. And she came up and gave me a big hug and congratulated me on Orange is the New Black. And mm-hmm. honestly, I've known her, like I said, forever. And we've always been the two butch girls out there, if you know what I mean. And I've never seen her look butcher than she looked this day. She was like a man. So, and then so I said something because I've always called her Catherine. That's what she told me to call her, when I first met her, like in 1992. So I said something, blah, 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 Catherine. And she went, oh, Leah, call me Kathy.
Maybe she's...
Call me Kathy. And I went, because you've never looked more like a Kathy. That's all I could think of my head. And I immediately, no censor. I leapt on it.
Oh, good. Well, maybe
oh,
she's
please.
In transition.
She's got a great sense of humor. She's in transition.
Speaking of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me how it's changed your life, if at all.
Completely and utterly. What do you mean? Changed my life. I get way hotter chicks now. That's the first.
Apparently you already have a hot chick.
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm engaged.
Some of the time,
fluff
anyway.
That under, yeah. Fluff that under the table.
The cages fall, today is new, and everyone is waiting.
I can use the fame that I've received from Orange to make a difference in the world, which is something I feel very strongly about. I mean, that's what my career has been about in the first place anyway. So it's really great to be able to do that.
Take what you know and gay it forward through the Homecoming Project.
Higher level people want to talk to me and right. listen to what I have to say about stuff. So I kind of love that.
Don't you find yeah. it interesting and somewhat enraging that you're just as articulate and passionate as you always were, but mm-hmm. now suddenly because you're or mm-hmm. more famous, I should say, because mm-hmm. you've been famous for a long time, you get taken more seriously. Isn't that something about that that's kind of...
Yeah, I let go of that a long time ago. I had to, or I would have put a fork in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. I just let it go, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the subject of music. I want to
we're
say...
off of politics and back to music.
Hey, man. Well, she's a total blam blam. She said she had to squeeze it, but she... And then she... Ooh.
I don't lean on me, man, because you can't afford the ticket. I'm back from Suffragette City.
Don't lean on me, man, because you ain't got time to check it. You know my Suffragette City is out of sight.
My voice teacher told me that the proper vocal technique... should have you speaking in a higher register than
right.
you probably normally do.
Right.
But I grind away down here, so I'm yeah. butching it up all the time because I'm still trying to pass.
Give it up.
Buddy. Yeah.
God, you should have given that up the first time you put a microphone in your hand.
That wasn't a microphone.
Oh, this is so much fun today.
Good.
I'm so happy right now.
How do I keep my guest, Leah Delaria, happy? Well, coming up, we'll keep digging and digging into what makes the Great American Songbook so damn great.
I don't want you, but I need you. You got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I forgave you, 'cause I could not forget you. You got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I ought to
cross you off my list when you come knocking at my door. Fate seems to give my heart a twist. I come running back for more, and I forgave you, 'cause I could not forget you.
Before she became the acting sensation, known best as Big Boo from Orange is the New Black, Leah Delaria took the comedy world by storm in the late 80s. Appearing on the Arsenio Hall show in 1993, she was the first openly gay comic on late-night television. Just a few years later, she made her Broadway debut in Bernstein's On the Town, and all the while, she was singing jazz, reinterpreting the classic catalog with all the flair of a seasoned master.
If you say to me American Songbook, I think a certain thing.
What is it?
This stuff that I brought you, the popular music of the early part of the 20th century. That's what I think of when you say American Songbook to me. I'm sure that it does define other things mm-hmm. as well. But I think pretty much everybody, when you say American Songbook, think exactly what I just said, the popular music of the early part of the 20th century.
And what makes it Great American Songbook to you?
Because that's when America was the country that was contributing all the music to everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, it's the Great American Songbook. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And it was mostly coming from Broadway or Tin Pan Alley, one or the other.
Right.
Right? You know
or
what I mean?
Or Hollywood, too.
Hollywood, too. But see, they got all the Hollywood people from Broadway. I mean, almost every musical you could think of that came out of Hollywood, especially the early part of the MGM musical years. Mm-hmm. And there were others. I guess WB did a lot. Warner Brothers did a lot. Those were all Broadway shows.
I'm looking at the list of songs that you brought. And you brought me some Judy Garland. Mm-hmm. You brought me Nina Simone, Ella Fitzgerald, Mel Torme. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why I love this list. These are the big ones. These are war horses. And there's very few people who share with me a desire to just play the hits. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people come here with like deep cuts and beautiful choices, things I've never heard, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
But once in a while, someone like you shows up and brings me Ella Fitzgerald singing A Fine Romance.
How great is that? I think that's probably even a duet with Louis Armstrong.
Do you want to hear the Louis Armstrong one? Louis, I'm sorry.
I don't care. I like them both. So I wasn't sure which one we were going
to
go with.
Well, let's listen to that one, to the Louis one. So let's get a little extra bang for the buck if we
Why
can.
Why not?
I mean, this is also an iconic recording from one of the great records of all time.
One of the great songbooks.
Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong singing A Fine Romance.
A fine romance with no kisses. A fine romance, my friend. This is. We should be like a couple of hot tomatoes, but you're as cold as yesterday's mashed potatoes. A fine romance, you won't nestle. A fine romance, you won't wrestle. I might as well play bridge with my old maid aunts. I haven't got a chance. This is a fine romance.
It's a fine romance with no kisses. A fine romance, my friend. This is, we two should be like clams in a dish of chowder. But we just fizz like parts of settler's powder. Yes, fine romance with no glitches. A fine romance with no bitches. Just as hard to land as the Italy of France. I haven't got a chance. This is a fine romance.
Has to be in Louise Key.
Yeah,
I was right
down there for him.
Yeah, but here's the thing. She's hitting
She could do it.
Do you know
oh
what
my
I mean?
God.
Yeah.
This is the greatest voice of the 20th century.
No two ways about it. You will never get an argument from me about that.
Torme knew it.
Everyone knew
Sinatra
it.
Sinatra knew it.
Everyone knew it.
I always love the fact that when she talks, she has this high little voice.
I know.
And then this thing comes out of her.
Yeah, but that really high voice of hers, when she gets those wicked high notes, when she's blowing, especially, like when she's scatting. God, what a range that woman had. I mean, come on.
Boy, I'm stupid, boy.
Now, Leah, I've got to share with you a tasty track of mine.
This is all good.
This one is from the Irving Berlin songbook, and it just swings forever.
I love it.
I brought my number one favorite Ella Fitzgerald recording.
Which one is her?
It's her singing Blue Skies.
Oh, the big scat number.
Yeah.
So good.
With that big, lush orchestra. And it's
fabulous.
Basically like someone finally was like, all right, let's let Ella do everything Ella can do.
Yeah.
And put it in the biggest, luscious setting we can come up with. So it gives you like the broccoli and the cheese sauce.
Yeah.
All in equal measure.
Fab.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Are we laughing at broccoli and cheese sauce right now?
I don't know. They could be laughing at anything in
there. It's true. We're just a strange little group of people here.
So this is Irving Berlin's Blue Skies, which is a great song.
Yes.
But this is my ringtone, actually. This opening scat chorus is... It's mysterious. It's exotic. It's rich.
Yeah.
There's just a few recordings that have three full choruses. This is one of them. And the song is made for her.
Never saw things going oh so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my heart, they fly blue. Hey, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies. Crying out, oh, bidding ya da 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 da.
Come on. Spidi-a-da-ba-do-ba-do-ya-do-ba-do-ba.
That was Ella Fitzgerald singing Irving Berlin's Blue Skies, and I've just been told that this won a Grammy at the first Grammys for Best Female Vocalist.
I did not know that. That's, of course, she won
chills.
The first. Of course, she won a Grammy at the
she
first Grammys for Female Vocalist.
Setting the bar very high.
Yeah, right?
From the get-go.
You know, she also had perfect pitch and relative pitch.
Yeah.
That's just...
Well, you'd have to, because I don't think she ever hit a wrong note.
It's crazy.
And is that where you started as a youngster, like a listener? Was that what captured your imagination, or were you listening to the Beatles, too?
Oh, I listened to the Beatles, too, but I was actually more of a Rolling Stones person.
Ooh, I should've known.
But what I was listening to, because I'm a weird child. Remember, I'm the daughter of a jazz musician. So what I was listening to was Ella Fitzgerald and John Coltrane and Miles Davis and, you know, and Mel Torme. My mother was the huge Mel Torme fan and has given me that love. I love Mel Torme.
We could go on all day about Torme because he's been my idol. I mean, I have his autograph all over the house. Like, I've seen him so many times.
I could tell by the way, you know, if you don't mind me saying, by the way you're saying, very influenced by him.
Well, I'm honored to think it might even be a distant echo because the guy was... Mel Torme at Michael's Club.
Oh, my God. It was
hair-raising. Yeah. I mean, my producers are sick of me talking about these things because every time somebody comes here, I just go off about Tormé.
Well, Although, why wouldn't you? He was one of the greatest singers of all time.
I'm finding my way towards Sammy Davis Jr. in a
way. Oh, I love Sammy. I love Sammy like I love Judy. He's that same kind of show, business singer.
Right.
And he gave it all. Yeah.
All. And he did it with so much style.
And finesse.
Yeah.
In the face of ridiculous odds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
what
I was watching Simon Cowell on YouTube criticizing some little gay boy dancer on his show, Britain's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful scene, tear-jerking, and Simon says, you know what bullies don't like? They don't like it when you do well. And you did really well. And that was what Sammy knew. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's just going to have to beat everybody at the game.
Yeah.
And boy, did he.
I mean,
you know, home run after home run.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yeah, yes, I can. Yes, I can!
I know you mentioned earlier that your dad was...
He's passed away, yes.
He was a jazz pianist,
yep.
Which is something you share with another guest from earlier here in our season two, Molly Ringwald.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
He's a very accomplished jazz pianist out in California. She started singing with his band.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, you guys have to share some stuff about
that. I have no idea.
And he was blind. Is blind. Still plays.
He's blind. Wow.
Yeah, and is a terrific player. His influence. Big?
Huge, yeah. I mean, he's the person that taught me to read music. He also taught me alternate scales. He also told me that if I wanted to be a good singer... that I had to be more than a pretty girl with a pleasant voice, that I really needed to know music. He sat me down, made me listen to instrumentalists. He told me that I had to shed every day, and I still do.
You do?
Every day.
Do you play?
In my bathroom. No, I play my voice.
Right.
So every day for at least 20 minutes. Lately, it's been closer to a half an hour. I close the door to my bathroom. I feel very sorry for my poor fiance, who generally, now it's time to do some errands because Leah's in there making those noises that I don't know what they are. And
Are you singing or vocalizing?
Well, this is what I do with my students as well. Basically, what I do is I get myself to a place of, first I start with vocal warm-ups, you know, so I warm up my chords. You know, maybe 5 minutes, maybe mm-hmm. 10 minutes of that. And some of them are just ridiculous. You're a singer, so you know what I'm talking about.
Hear, just one. Just step back from the mic.
Yeah, there. That's a ridiculous. Just from doing that, I can tell that I've got a little issue here in my break, and I can feel it right now that I have a little, maybe a tiny little swelling that's going on here.
Oh.
So doing that would mean that I would work my break more.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So
sure.
And carefully, because if there's a, you know, I have to sing tonight. Right.
Right.
So carefully, I would warm up around that break area to make sure that the muscle isn't strained, that it's okay, and then once I do that. I'd wait and I would get into my head and then I just start blowing. I don't have a melody in mind. I don't have a mm-hmm. groove in mind. I just start blowing the way anybody would start, say, on their saxophone or, you know, on the piano. And eventually, as I'm blowing, I find a groove or I find a space. Sometimes it has to do with an outside influence, like if somebody starts using a jackhammer outside. I might start incorporating that. I mean, I'm a New Yorker, so of course I can hear the outside in my apartment. I mean, I live in the ghetto. I live in Bushwick, so I would incorporate
anything,
that in.
Right. It could be the screams of someone being brutally
there you
assaulted
go.
On the street. But
exactly,
it's a
but then it'll
point.
Become it will become a part of my scat riff. I will keep that going. And generally, I try to keep it going for 15 or 20 minutes, which is a really, really, really long time. It's
yes.
much longer than you can possibly imagine.
I don't warm up nearly as much as you do for precisely that reason. I just get bored.
Oh, yeah.
I bore myself to tears. I'm
yeah.
boring myself right now.
You are. I'm sorry that you bore yourself to tears.
Which is why I'm delighted that you are here.
I'm sorry that you bore yourself to tears, but I have to say to any singer out there, and here's somebody that you never thought you'd hear say the word discipline, but discipline is a really good thing to make you a much better singer.
Well, it obviously yeah. pays off because your range remains absolutely enormous.
It's increased. At 58 years old, I've actually added 2 tones onto my rage. So it's kind of weird.
Did you say rage or
rage? That was funny. I did. That was like Freudian.
That's a really good slip.
Freudian as it gets there, bro.
Yeah.
yeah, I can now hit an F, a really low F.
Wow.
So it's like, yeah.
All right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, come with me now since we're talking about you as a singer. And let's talk about your recent recording, which may not be an example of your complete range vocally, but it is an example of your curiosity and your vision as an artist. House of David.
Right.
David Bowie, go.
House of David, Delaria plus Bowie equals jazz. What can I say?
Can I ask you what drew you to it?
David Bowie. That's what drew me to it. I love his music. Always have. Again, he's one of those guys, like when we talked about Judy Garland. Well, David is the person that taught me to be true to your vision as an artist,
mm-hmm.
no matter what other people think. Also, because I was a little queer kid growing up in the Midwest.
Right.
Right?
So he was a beacon of light.
He was a beacon of light to me in that he just said to me, you know what? It's okay to be weird. In fact, it's pretty cool.
Right.
So
the weirder the better for
him. The weirder the better, absolutely. And his music showed that. His style showed that. His choices as an artist, as an actor, all of that. He just showed me all of that. It's okay for me to do everything that I do. That was the other thing he showed me.
Right.
People will have their little attitude about it. They all do. Why does every actor think they can sing? I was a singer before I was an actor.
Right.
You know, that's a first
thing.
This
is a central struggle for a lot of creative people.
Why does every stand-up think they can act? I actually acted before I did stand-up. Stand-up is the one where they should be going, what makes her think she can be a stand-up?
Well, but often the comedians are the best tragedians, you know?
Absolutely.
Look at Jim Carrey, for example. Like, he's a terrific actor, but he started in comedy. And comedians have, I think, more notes available, more, as you would say, tones in their range. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's easier for a comic person to do, you know, deep, complicated stuff than it is for people who are good at deep, complicated stuff to do comedy.
Right.
So it's an unfair dichotomy. Once again, it's a double yellow line that I really don't think should be there. And I'm sorry that it is. But here we are trying
But it's there. It's most definitely there. I can remember Isherwood when I did Happy Days at the Classic Stage Company. We were sold out every show. We got a standing ovation every night. This is Beckett. This is not easy shit. So, okay.
Aren't you buried?
But then the Times comes to review it. And Isherwood takes the opportunity to write a four-page tome on why comics shouldn't act.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you. You said it, not me.
So, the songbook of David Bowie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do Bowie tunes because the lyrics are tough for me.
You know, let me just say this about that, darling. Reinventing the tunes in jazz made me really understand the lyrics more.
Uh-huh.
Really get into the lyric. And especially like, for example, Space Oddity. When he sings, "Here am I floating around my tin can," it wasn't until I sang it that I realized that he's not floating inside the capsule. He's outside the capsule floating round his tin can. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
The first lyric about that is I'm stepping through the door. And it's like, because I was so obsessed with the fact that he's shooting heroin, blah, 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 you know, that everything's in it. That's like the first little tiny thing I can give you.
Can we listen to that?
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule, if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. The stars look very different today. Here am I floating round my tin can, far above the world. Letters
Mollinson on the drums. Although Kevin Hayes' Fender solo is great, but Kenny really drives it with what he's doing color-wise with the drums.
Space Oddity by David Bowie, performed by Leah Delaria and her band off of House of David, her most recent album, her fifth jazz album, and it's all jazz interpretations of music by Bowie. I'm Julian Fleischer. We'll keep stretching out the Naked American Songbook. In just a minute, a little game of this or that.
Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom? Ground control to Major Tom, your circuit's dead, there's something wrong. Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom? Ground control to Major Tom, your circuit's dead, there's something wrong. Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom?
Now back to my conversation with Leah Delaria.
Gotta be this or that.
So I want to play a little game with you, Leah.
All right. Oh, my God.
A little this
I'm
or that.
I'm going to be terrified.
A little this or that. You have to make your decision quickly.
Okay.
And then you have to be prepared to justify it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Are you ready?
Okay.
This or that. Orange is the New Black or Black Star?
Orange is the New Black.
Why?
Because I get paid. What? That's simple. Are you
okay.
kidding? Jesus.
Leah. Delaria. Salonga.
What, no Thompson?
oh, my God. Good one. Good one.
Or Michelle? Come on. There's so many other. Do you mean for me to listen to?
To choose.
To choose.
To take home at night.
I'm going
to
take me
yeah,
every time.
Good for
I
you.
Love me way more than Salonga.
I would do it, too. All right. Cats, Jeremy or Deli? Deli.
Deli. I love you, Jeremy Katz, so much. You're my manager. You're a great guy, but I can get some... fabulous corned beef.
All right.
At Cat's Deli.
I'll have what she's having.
Boo. Big or Radley?
Radley.
Really? Good one.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of that movie and that book. And yeah.
Excellent. Wow. All
and
right.
and Robert Duvall personally. So.
Hey, Boo.
That's right. He was Boo Radley.
Oh, heck yeah.
I always think Gregory Peck, but of course he was Boo Radley.
He was Boo Radley.
All right. Here we go.
You're a very strange guy. You do know that, right?
Hall. Kids in the or Arsenio?
Kids in the.
Why?
Because they're the funniest sketch comedy team that I've ever seen in my life, and Scott Thompson is one of my dearest and closest friends.
Good reasons, all. Mitchell, Joni or Andrea?
Oh, no, that's...
Come on.
Joni.
Okay, please. Nothing wrong with Andrea Mitchell, but we're talking Joni Mitchell. David, Crosby or Bowie?
Oh, please. We're not even having that conversation. Right. Bowie. Yeah.
No explanation needed right there. Finally, funny. Girl or lady?
Sing me one song from Funny Lady. One song.
Money right. in my pocket right at my fingertips.
That's true.
How lucky can I get? Come on,
yeah.
That's a great song.
Girl. It's going to be girl every time. Every time.
How lucky can
wow! Can you get...
Streisand, Barbara or Barbara?
Barbara and Barbara.
Do you love?
Without a doubt.
Really?
Follow her on Instagram. Worship her.
That feed is cray-cray.
I love her cray-cray feed, though.
She's bonkers.
She is beyond bonkers, and I love that she doesn't seem to understand exactly what Instagram is about.
Right.
Which makes it even better.
She's like your grandma, basically, but she's also Barbara Streisand. You know, that's the thing. Like, we get to watch her get old, which is really an unexpected pleasure.
Well, we've been doing that all along, so there you go. Haven't we? We've been watching Barbara get old.
She was timeless until, like, you know, nuts.
Until
and then
nuts.
Suddenly the clock started like ticking really hard.
Do you realize how long ago Nuts was?
Yes,
I mean, really?
I do. I was with her all the way through Yentl, which is one of my favorite movies. I'm not kidding.
I always remember her saying that kissing Amy Irving was like kissing an arm. She did an interview where she said that.
Thanks, Barbara.
I was like, the early years of my stand-up, I remember saying, I think she just hasn't found the right arm yet.
Oh, that's a good line. We're going to have to play a little of that.
What are all these new sensations? What's the secret they reveal? I'm not sure I understand, but I like the way.
Well, we're either going to talk Nina Simone or Mel Torme.
Oh, we got to do one or the other? I mean, if we have to do one or the other, that's going to be really hard for me to choose.
Nina Simone or Torme?
Wait a minute. Nina Torme?
Yeah, that'd be good, right?
What a great character. I bet we could actually get Justin Bond to do that.
To do Nina Torme?
Nina Torme.
That's good. Or Mel Simone.
I like Nina Torme better.
Let's listen to Nina Simone.
Please.
I'm going to challenge myself because I could listen to this.
Oh,
Torme.
Her version of I Love Me Porgy. I love me Porgy. I love you, Porgy. I love me some Porgy. That's what it's called. I Love You, Porgy is so unbelievable. I just think it's one of the most amazing things ever recorded.
There's something sacred about it.
Yeah. And just the ease with which she's playing the piano while she's saying this is just...
And I'm always excited by how she's willing to use her classical training in her jazz playing and explore corners of these things that nobody else...
It's only a couple people that have ever done that, yeah. You know, and I think she's amazing. Come on, when she goes, Porgy, that... Doesn't that make you... You almost tear up hearing it. You believe every ounce of her loves Porgy.
I love you, Porgy, don't let him take me, don't let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I wanna stay with you forever. And I'll be glad. Yes, I love you, Porgy. Don't let him take me. Don't let him handle me with his hot hands. If you can keep me, I want to stay here with you forever. I've got my man. Let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I wanna stay here with you forever.
Ugh, come on, that just kills you, right? It just kills you.
She cast a spell.
Yeah.
I came to her really late in my life because I was always looking for that sort of Ella-style perfection, that mm-hmm. crystalline perfect beauty in the mm-hmm. voice. And her voice is ragged and weird and has strange qualities, and her pitch is sometimes iffy. But then one day you wake up and you're like, oh,
you this. Get it.
Yeah, like I...
The imperfections is part of the beauty of it.
Absolutely. It is the beauty. And they're no longer imperfections.
Well, that's because we live in the, you know, the Pro Tool age and yeah. the, you know, auto-tune age. And thank God I had my father who taught me that I had to have my own sound.
Right.
Nobody hears me sing and thinks it's someone else.
Well, that's what everybody wants. Absolutely. She's sort of like Dylan in that way. Like, her voice is very odd, but it's the voice of, you know, one of those voices of all time.
Oh, Nina Simone, I love you so much. Do I love her so much? What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leah, thank you again for coming and joining us here on the Naked American Songbook, where we are, in fact, quite naked, which is how I like it. That's how we get to know each other.
So I think it's a really good way for us to know each other. I think it also helps, you know, fat chicks like me be comfortable in their own skin.
And me too. Fat chicks like me too. The Naked American Songbook is proudly a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC, and WQXR in New York City. We hope that you continue to get at us on our social network platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. You can always call the listener line at 347-229-1343. Tell us what you're listening to. Tell us what you want us to listen to and everything in between. Aaron Dalton is the guy who takes your personal belongings. Ellie Smerling works in the cafeteria. Hilary Bonhomme is the vocational counselor. And Mike Shove is judge, jury, and executioner. Our theme music is written by me. I'm Julian Fleischer. Thanks for listening. Keep it naked.
Nines it right there. Nice.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Awesome. Guys, so much fun. Oh my God. Have me back anytime. I always love it. I can't even. We're going to get in so much trouble, and we don't care.